Psalm 119, and we'll look at verse number 25. Is where what we've been dealing with is 22 sections. There are 22 sections of 8 verses each. So each Wednesday night that I'm here, we've been dealing with those 8 verses, and each one of them, there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so the first 8 verses is, you'll notice you can't tell it in English, but if you were looking at it in Hebrew, every one of the lines start out with the Hebrew Aleph. Most Bibles have that at the top. And then the next section of 8 verses is Beth and then Gimel. And tonight, right at the top, you'll see Daleth in verse number 25. And these 8 verses all start with that particular letter. And I'm sure that was coincidence, by the way. But anyway, we'll look in verse 25. Every one of these verses deal with the Bible, the Word of God, our roadmap, our constitution, if you will. This is what we go by. You say, what do you believe about what such and such? Well, this is where we get that from. It's not that we come up with it or this is what, and a lot of times people share their opinion. But our opinions need to be based upon what the Bible says. Somebody says, what do you believe about heaven? Well, the Bible says such and such. What do you believe about hell? Well, the Bible says such and such. Well, so-and-so don't believe in it. Well, it don't matter what so-and-so. It's what the Bible says. And once this becomes your final authority for all matters of faith and practice, when this Bible, what is your final authority? What do you go to? To prove all things. What do you depend upon for all of your answers to life's questions? It's got to be, and we think, oh, that's just a cliche. Well, we just love the Bible. Got to love the Bible. Well, it's more than that. It's got to get from here to here. Somehow or another, from here. A lot of people know the Bible here. They can quote the Bible from here. But is it here? Even Psalm 119 says, the words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Now, look at verse 25. We'll read all 8 verses and then we'll comment. Verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. Y'all picked a good night to come. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me the law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight, gathering together and, Lord, just gathering with God's people. And then when we get together with God's people, we sing about you, get our hearts ready and our hearts rejoice and our hearts uplifted. And then when all of that happens, then we open the Bible and we try to see what you might have for us before we go home tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd do that for us. Show us something from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's 5 things I want to show you about these 8 verses. 5 things. Number one, the psalmist. The psalmist, he had a plea. The first few verses is his plea. The second one is his confession. And then he has a prayer. And then he has discouragement, and then he has commitment. And so those 5 things we're going to deal with. Number one, we'll see the psalmist's plea. His plea is this, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Verse 25, it's a plea of desperation. I wish I could express to you the heart of the psalmist here. It's a plea of desperation. Notice what he says. My soul cleaveth, sticks, I'm stuck, I am glued to, I'm stuck to this earth. This earth, the earthly things, the worldly things of this world is stuck to me. You can't work out in that world and come out always smelling like a rose. And the psalmist has been out and about so much, he says, my soul cleaveth. I'm stuck to the dirt. The world, the earth is all around me. And it could mean the grave in a sense. Not saying that this the psalmist here is half dead. In the spiritual sense, he says, my soul is about half dead. I'm stuck to this earth, the worldly things that are around me, and I need to get this off of me. Would you please quicken thou me according to thy word? This man is making a desperate plea because he's been consumed by the things that are around him. Now listen now. The earthly system, the worldly system, most Christians are clinging to the things around them. Amen. Now Wednesday night you can say amen. Enemies from this world, enemies from this earth are clinging to us. Somebody put it this way. Get this. The heart hungry for Egypt will not be satisfied with manna from heaven. Let me say it again. Somebody said, the heart that's hungry for Egypt will not be satisfied with manna from heaven. Amen. There's a plea of desperation. There is a plea of recognition. He said, quicken thou me according to thy word. Quicken. That word quicken means to make alive, to live, to give life. This man, spiritually speaking, is a plea of desperation. The world is sticking to me. I got the dust of this world is all over me. Lord, would you please raise me from the spiritual dead? Would you please, by your word, wash me? Would you please, Lord, get this dirt off of me? Lord, please, would you make me alive and quicken me? It's a plea of recognition. Lord, would you recognize me? Would you hear my desperate plea? Amen. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is quick, quickeneth, makes alive. The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the sunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That Bible knows what you need. You ever wondered why, and maybe you come, and it doesn't, whether it be me, whether it be another preacher, whether it was last week with Brother Eric, wherever, whoever's filling in here, whoever it is, and you happen to be here, and all of a sudden you say, well, I wonder why he's preaching right at me. You ever done that? The preacher does not have time to look in y'all's windows and find out and read your mail and find out what you are doing. We got better things to do. We don't have time for that. But I'm going to tell you, that Bible right there is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That Bible knows what you need. He knows what you've been going through this week. And he knows if the preacher's in tune and he gets the message from God and not the internet. If he'll get the message from God, God will give him the message that the people, because God already knows the people that's coming. And so he'll give you a message. If you get it from him, he'll give you a message and you'll walk out there going, man, I'm telling you, that's just what I needed. Amen. Amen. And it ain't got anything to do with the preacher. It's got to do with that Bible. Amen. That Bible's alive. It's quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so you got a plea of desperation, a plea of recognition. Most people, when they go through life's troubles, they go to the world to find answers. What does this magazine say about this? What does this psychologist say about this? I'm going through this problem. Wonder what kind of pill they can give me for this. Hey, y'all, don't get upset at me. And I'm on three different blood pressure medicines, one cholesterol pill, an aspirin. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I got to take them too. But we ain't got to take a pill for everything. I mean, I think we ought to take a pill, but sometimes the gospel will help you a whole lot. Sometimes, every morning, take a pill. Every morning, take a pill. Take a gospel. I just come up with that. That's good. Hallelujah. You need to take it. Every time you take your blood pressure meds, every time, you just sit down and take another pill, the gospel. That sounded good. I'm going to keep saying it. Amen. Now, here's what I want to say. Jesus Christ, you realize this? Jesus Christ raised three people from the dead in the New Testament. Three people. Number one was Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, and the widow's son of Nain raised him from the dead. All three times. Watch this. All three times, Jesus spoke the word, and the dead got up. Now, let's bring that over to the spiritual realm. Sometime when we're spiritually drained and we're like the psalmist and we've got one foot in the spiritual ground and the dust is clinging all over us and we cry out to God, that word right there will quicken you and make you alive and bring you forth from the dead. I'm not talking about, now listen, I'm not talking about going out to the graveyard and reading the Bible and people start coming up. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about spiritually speaking, just drained and dead like most Christians are. That Bible will bring you back to life. A plea for revival. He said, quicken me. Quickeneth thou me. A desperation, a recognition, revival. A plea for revival. Listen, our churches, not just this, but our churches, Dyersburg, Tennessee, cannot survive without a Holy Ghost, heaven-sent, real, I'm talking about real deal Holyfield, sent from heaven, revival. We got to have it. We got to have it. We can't live without it. We got to have something from God if we're going to make it through this world today. I'm telling you. You got a plea. Number two, you got a confession. Notice what he says. Verse number 26, I have declared my ways. Lord, I've declared unto you my ways. I've come clean. Hands up. I'm coming clean with you. When's the last time we come clean with God? And notice what he said. He said, I have declared my ways and thou heardest me. You ever wondered why your prayers maybe can't get answered? Your prayers cannot get answered sometimes because you haven't come clean. Hey, the Bible says this. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You can't live like a bunch of yard dogs and then get down to this altar and expect God to answer every whim and every prayer you got. Hallelujah. Amen. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's what it said. Everybody needs a good cleaning, a good confession, just a good revival, just a good just turning from our wicked ways. Amen. We just need to confess some things. Well, I don't want to. Well, hey, if you look, you better confess them if you want to get them. If you want to get the airways clean, the airways clear to get your prayers answered, you better start doing a little confessing. Amen. Amen. Now, watch this. Look at verse. Let's see, 25. Say, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quickeneth thou me according to thy word. Look at verse 28. My soul melteth for heaven, and strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Watch this. Anytime, get this principle. It's a good principle. Anytime you rid yourself and confess your sins, you are removing something off of you. Okay? And when you remove something off of you, you've got a hole there that needs to be filled. All right? Here, get this. Go to sleep here in a minute, but hang on, get this one. Wake up long enough to get this one and write this one down. The reason most Christians live defeated lives, they come to the altar, they confess their sins, they get it off of them, but they never replace that hole with the Word. People that smoke, I've never smoked, and I don't know how, I understand how addictive it can be, but they tell me once a person stops smoking, they have to do something else, chew gum. Something to replace. If you get rid of something, you've got to put something in its place. Is that about right? So if you're used to smoking, then if you quit, you've got to put something in that spot. Start chewing gum or whatever. Same way in the spiritual realm. Once you get confessed up and you're leaving a hole in your life because you're getting rid of something, and when you get rid of something, then you've got to turn around and replace what you got rid of with the Word. And that's the only way it works. You can't get rid of sin and leave it. You will go back to the same sin within 24 hours if you don't replace it with the Bible. Amen. I'm telling you, now this is not a shouting message, but I'm telling you, we got to get back to being a Bible people. We got to get back to being a Bible people. Reading that Bible. The devil wants to keep you from this Bible. This Bible will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this Bible. Amen. So, all right, you got a plea, you got a confession, and then number three, you got a prayer. Look at verse 27. Here's his prayer. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. A prayer of understanding. Make me to understand, Lord. Make me to understand the ways thy precepts. Would you please help me? I am in the spiritual ER. I need something from you. I need the heavenly physician to give me something. Would you help me understand? How many of y'all go to the doctor and you say, all right, doctor, explain it to me. And he says, okay, you got this. And he gives him long words like this. And you're like, no. Help, make me understand. And sometimes you read the Bible and you pray and you're going, I don't get it. Lord, help me understand this. Make me understand this. And this is what he's talking about. Thy ways and thy precepts. The Bible is the cure. There's a prayer of repentance. Notice what he said. Verse 29. Remove from me the way of lying. Ooh. Can't spend much time here. Remove from me the way of lying. Not just lying, but the way of lying. You say, what's the way of lying? Okay, watch this. You're going to love it. Well, maybe not. But here's the way of lying. It's called deceitfulness. When we give the impression that we got it all together and we're the best Christian in the world. Amen. And we're deceiving and we're lying. Some of us may have lied tonight during the song service. Including me. I don't remember all the songs we sang. Have y'all ever sung, Sundays ago, whatever, we sung an invitation song, I Surrender All. I surrender all. Did you really? Or did you lie about it? Sometimes we sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how. Do you really? Or is that the way of lying? Just, well, we're in church. We got to sing it. If I don't sing it, somebody's going to be looking over here going, I wonder why I ain't singing that song. why ain't he singing? Oh, how I love Jesus. Sometimes, I think, this is what I think sometimes. And I've been wanting to do this, and one of these times we'll get the courage to do it. And you walk in, we do the service plumb backwards. You walk in, we start. Instead of having a song, we say, Mark, come to piano, have a song of invitation. Everybody stand, just as I am without one plea. We can't have service until we get down here and get it right. And then we have the message. And then we start singing the congregational songs. Wouldn't it work better that way? You get confessed. We do it backward. You get up here and everybody, you know, when you come in all week long, you roll in on Sunday morning, everybody, including the preacher, is about half backslid anyway. And we start singing about halfway, you know, and whatever. Whew. And the offer plate, well, let me give a quarter. And you put a... And then we hear the preacher, you know, and then we do the, Lord, we confess first. Let's do that first and run that thing backward. What the psalmist says, remove from me the way of lying. Now, we've been cutting up and want you to pay attention and listen. But here the seriousness of it. Lord, my life, I don't want it to be deceitful among people. I want my heart right. If my outside gives the appearance to y'all that my heart's right, my heart needs to be right. You know. Anyway. Now, then you got the psalmist's plea. You got his confession. Then he's got his prayer there. And then number four, he's discouraged. Notice what he says in verse number 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Then you got a colon there. Watch. My soul melteth for heaviness. This stuff is on me, is weighting me down, and I'm just melting. Y'all remember, how many of y'all remember the Wizard of Oz? I'm melting. We call it a what? I'm having, especially, you know, ladies, women, they go, I'm having a meltdown. You know, I'm having a meltdown. Notice this phrase in this verse. He says, my soul melteth for heaviness. And I'm not making light of it. Hey, sometime we're melting down. But watch the other side of that colon. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Now here's the principle. Watch this. Sometime when we're having a meltdown, God wants it that way. Watch. You take gold or silver, and you take bars of gold, silver, whatever. It's what they do. They put them in that pot, and they turn the heat on to it, and they melt that thing down. They turn the heat up, and the dross, what they call the dross, the impurities, will rise to the top. And then they'll take a 2x4 or something, and they'll take it and run it across that big old, whatever they're burning it in, a big old barrel. They'll take that, all the impurities are bubbling up to the top. That thing has been melted down. Then all the impurities come up to the top, and they take a 2x4 or something, and rake that off the top. And what's on the bottom is left pure gold or pure silver. And then they'll take that melted down gold, melted down silver, and start hardening it, and it's purer than it was when it first started. When you're having a meltdown, and you're saying, Lord, I'm heavy, I'm under this stress, and melting down, God says, all right, you're right where you need to be. Give me just a little bit. All them impurities are going to rise to the top, and sometimes they'll surface. They'll surface out your mouth. Sometimes you're having a trouble, and I'm telling you, sometimes them things, that'll come out your mouth. Yeah, I mean, it'll just, that draws, it'll come plumb out of your mouth. You're like, I didn't know that was down in my heart. Oh, yeah, what's down in there, it'll come up. Y'all ever heard this? I don't want to make you mad. Y'all ever heard this? I didn't mean to say that. Yes, you did. Yes, you did mean to say it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, you may not have meant for it to come up, but you meant to say it. Amen. You see what I'm saying? If it come out of here, you meant to say it. You may not have meant for it to come out when it did in front of the people it came out in front of. But you can't take it back. Oh, I didn't mean it. Yes, you did mean it. What you need to do when that's that draw's coming up. You need to take that, rush it off. You need to come on down here to the altar and go, okay, Lord, I done melted down under heaviness. Now strengthen me according to thy word. Make me stronger as a Christian. Get out all of that impurity. Get all that off of me, Lord. I don't want it on me. Amen. That's Psalm 119 right there. This is what he's talking about. And then melted, and then you got the strength. Here, let me give this illustration before we go on tonight. Y'all got a computer. I got a laptop, all them kind of things, and computer back there. And every now and then, well, every computer that I know of, they come with a system restore disk. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That means if your computer crashes, because as your computer goes, it picks up stuff. It picks up malware and spyware, and it picks up a virus here and there and yonder and this thing. And sometime it'll overtake your computer. You'll have to call a tech in and go, hey, I need this thing restored. Have you got the system restore disk? Oh, yeah, that little thing I almost threw away. Okay, yeah. And you put that and you reboot the whole system. And it gets rid of everything that's done clinged on. Y'all looking at me like I'm in here by myself. Some of you Your life is like that. My life. You work out in the world. You have to work. And you're going to pick up some spyware. You're going to pick up some viruses. You're going to pick up some stuff. And sometime, y'all got that system restore disk? Oh, yeah, here it is. Here's system restore. Here's system restore. You plug that in. You get system restored. And we say, oh, that's funny. Hey, that's what you got to do. And if you don't, you're going to carry around a spiritual virus your whole life, and you'll be wondering why you're running sluggish. People come in church like you. You're like, boy, you got a virus, don't you? Oh, yeah, I do. You got some spyware on you, don't you? Yes, I do. Sometime, hey, you just need the system restore. Put the system restore disk in there and boot it back up. Wherever you fell out of the fellowship of the Lord, wherever it was, you go back there and find out where you... You say, oh, I just tell you, I ain't seen the Lord lately. Well, you'll find Him where you lost Him. Now, I ain't talking about losing salvation. I'm talking about losing fellowship. You'll find Him where you lost Him. You say, hey, you know what? When stuff started going south was when I stopped reading my Bible. I used to read it every day, and I stopped. You know what? That's where I messed up. All right, I'm going to go back to where I lost it, and I'm going to start reading the Bible every day and system restore. Man, where I started messing up, I'm telling you, my life started going downhill when I stopped praying. I remember, boy, I used to pray like 3 times a day, once in the morning, at least once at night before I went to bed. Boy, I remember praying, but I'm too busy. I ain't had time to do that now. And that's where I messed up. I'm going to go back and start that again and system restore. That's what the psalmist is saying. He says, I got a plea here. Lord, clean me up. I'm discouraged. Lord, wash me. And then he's got a commitment, and I'm done. The commitment's found right here. Look, 30, 31, and 32. Here's the commitment. Here's the commitment. Here it is. He says, this is our prayer tonight before we go. I have chosen the way of truth. I'm leaving Holy Hills Baptist Church tonight, and I am choosing, when I walk out of these doors tonight, I'm choosing the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimony. See, y'all thought I was joking. I have stuck to thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. Lord, when I stand before you at Judgment Seat of Christ, do not. Help me not to be ashamed. You won't be ashamed. You come clean. Verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Amen. How big is your heart tonight? Oh, he so-and-so's got a big heart. Well, I understand that. He's probably got a big heart. And that may be true, him or her, whoever it is. But hey, have you ever stopped and asked the Lord, enlarge my heart for your word? Make my heart bigger, not only for people, but for thy word. Hey, that Bible right there, Psalm 119, will tell you. That Bible is the answer to all the issues of life. And we're going to have to take time, confess up, system restore. And that's what Psalmist is trying to tell us. Amen. All right. Well, that went over a lot worse than I thought it would. Wednesday nights, you can't expect... Wednesday nights, you can't expect cake and ice cream on Wednesday night. Cake and ice cream is on Sunday morning. We're going to talk about the story has half not been told, and boy, just take a text and take a fit and run around and shout, hallelujah, we're all going to heaven. We're going to love each other and kiss our poodles and everything else. Sunday night, Wednesday night, you can't have that all the time. Sometimes you got to break out the steak knife and sometimes you got to break out the Pepto, too. Sometimes you need Pepto. I mean, you need a little spiritual Pepto tonight. Some of you look like you need some Pepto. you need something. So you can be free. Some of you are bound up. Is the internet off?